Don't miss the service tomorrow night. It's going to be great. The Lord's Day is coming. I'm looking forward to hearing Pastor Campbell preach. It's my joy tonight to introduce Pastor Matt Grimes. In the year of 2009, our friend Dr. Glenn Anderson, who was serving at that time as the pastor of the Liberty Baptist Church in Stockbridge, began to pray about who would follow him as the pastor there. Dr. Anderson not only started the church, not only founded the church there in Stockbridge, but he had stayed for many, many years. And I knew whoever that individual that would follow those many, many years of Dr. Anderson would have to be a real special kind of guy. Well, I want you to know God knew what he was doing. I'm telling you, he always does anyway. But when he sent Brother Grimes to the Liberty Baptist Church of Stockbridge in 2009, I'm telling you, he couldn't have got anybody better to feel, to follow Dr. Glenn Anderson. He's been there ever since then. He served as his associate pastor for a while. But then after Dr. Anderson walked away, stepped off the scene, God raised up Brother Grimes. He's been there ever since. He's the president of Atlanta Baptist College. When I was the pastor of Canaan Baptist Church in Covington, many of our young men who were called to preach would stay in our church and go to school at Atlanta Baptist College. And they still, in fact, Old Swanee Baptist Church, their youth pastor is a graduate of Atlanta Baptist College, who went to church with us right there at Canaan and went to Bible college at Atlanta Baptist. And boy, God is using him in an absolutely tremendous way. And it's my privilege to introduce him to you tonight. He serves on our executive board as our treasurer. And you're going to see he's a great preacher. And it means so much to me to call him friend. When we left the pastorate to go into missions full time, Liberty Baptist Church was one of our first supporting pastors, and he's used me many, many times since then. He's my dear friend, and I know you're going to hear him gladly. Pray for Pastor Matt Grimes as he comes to preach tonight.
All right. It is a very big blessing for me to be here tonight. This is so far the biggest opportunity I've ever had to preach in front of this many people. I don't know if I should be nervous or afraid or what, probably both, and I am all those things. And then to have Brother Wade here, I have to preach to him. Man, I'm so outmatched here, but I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be a part of Macedonia World Baptist Mission, a mission that does all that it can do to see people saved all around the world. And what a blessing I have to be a small part in that. And I'm so glad, thankful to be here. Thankful to be a part of this great conference, this great church, and thank you all for being here so much. Open your Bible, please, to 2 Samuel chapter number 5, please. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. I want to preach a message that I must confess I've not yet preached it to our church. I think you're supposed to preach one at your church before you preach it out somewhere, but I'm going to do it opposite, I guess, and maybe you'll see why in just a little bit. I feel like tonight, like it's already been mentioned, that I am in front of heroes tonight. I'll never forget, it was 1988. I was a sophomore in high school at Cookeville High School in Cookeville, Tennessee. And our baseball team traveled all the way to Orlando, Florida to play in a baseball tournament. Now in 1988, I don't know how it is now with public school buses, but there was a governor on the gas pedal. You can only go so fast, and we can only go 35 miles an hour all the way from Cookeville, Tennessee to Orlando, Florida. It took us 17 hours on a school bus, no air conditioning. It was terrible. 17 hours of slow driving. And I guess God used that to prepare me for Metro Atlanta driving all these years later. But we played in this baseball tournament. I was already nervous because I was already being recruited by some pretty big-time colleges and even some major league scouts, even as a sophomore in high school. And I knew all those guys were going to be watching the tournament, and so I was nervous about that. And then I heard that in the crowd was going to be a man you probably have heard of, a man by the name of Ted Williams, pretty popular baseball player, one of my boyhood heroes. Never got to see him play, of course, and did see a video he had made, read one of his books. He was one of my baseball heroes, and he was there in the tournament watching some of the ball players. And then another man you probably have heard of, Ozzie Smith, was there. He was some kind of business adventure he was on was there. And so I'm there to play baseball in front of all these major league scouts, these college recruiters and Ted Williams and Ozzie Smith, and I was nervous as can be. And I feel like that tonight because I am preaching in front of my heroes, Brother Wade, Brother Caudill, Brother Hamby, all you great missionaries. And it's my honor, my thrill to be here. And I'm looking forward to what God has for us tonight. I will say this, I did play pretty well in the tournament. And I hope that carries over today, some 30 some odd years later, okay? If you're able to, please, would you stand out of reverence for the Word of God as we read 2 Samuel chapter number 5. I'm going to begin our reading in verse number 17 and read down to verse number 25. The preachers are, as the week is going on, they're getting taller. You notice that? Brother Caudill, Brother Kuykendall, and me tonight. And they're also getting uglier. Who's preaching tomorrow? Brother Hamby? Brother, okay. God bless you all. Just checking, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down into the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And I like this. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines, and wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of the place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Tonight, with the Lord's help, I want to preach on this very simple thought: continue during the attack. Continue during the attack. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name, and this service already has been spirit-filled. And Lord, your hand's been upon every aspect of the service so far, from the special music, from all the presentations, to the, of course, Brother and Miss Wade being here. And what a blessing and honor that is. And the service already has been tremendous. So we can leave tonight, right now, God, knowing we've heard from you and you've blessed. But Lord, the next few moments is the most important time of this service, the time where our Bibles are open. And I pray, God, you may allow your word to be preached with power, with wisdom. May you fill me with your Holy Spirit, God. Let me, Lord, just say what you'd have me to say and not say what you don't want me to say. And whatever you may accomplish tonight in our hearts, we want to give you all praise and all glory, because you're the only one who's worth any praise and any glory. So, God, get that to yourself. Speak now. Bless the next few moments. We give you praise, honor, and glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, please. Thank you so much for standing. You've all heard and read about, maybe some of you are of age to where you remember when this happened, but December 7, 1941, the Japanese launched a surprise attack on our U.S. forces there at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. It took over 2,300 lives on that morning attack. Most of our fleet of aircraft were damaged or destroyed. 8 battleships, 3 destroyers, 3 cruisers were taken out of action. 2 battleships, the Oklahoma and Arizona, were completely destroyed. Those who are into military history and those who are into military strategy say that the reason this attack was so successful is because it was a surprise attack. They didn't see it coming. They were just doing what soldiers and military men do. They were just serving there on the base, and all of a sudden here come the Japanese, and the attack was large. The attack was very successful as far as Japan goes, and unfortunately we were not prepared for the attack. That battle, that attack, taught the United States a lesson. And I can say this now, we're ready now. And so if an attack was to come today, we'd be ready. And I thought about this tonight, how many Christians, they've been attacked by the enemy. And of course, our enemy is the devil. You know that. The Bible tells us all about him and about his devices. He attacks us each and every day. And it'd be nice if our life as a Christian, no matter what your field of service is, it'd be nice if we could live our lives and serve our Lord on a playground, but that's not the case. Many times we live our lives on the battlefield. We're attacked, and most often these attacks come as surprise attacks. Whether you're a preacher or a pastor or a missionary, whether you are a full-time Christian service or a lay person, whether you're a member of this church or another church, if you've been saved for 50 years or for 50 minutes or for 50 days, every Christian will face an attack at some point in their life. And I don't know about you, but it seems like the more we try to do for God, the more we're attacked. And I also don't know about you, but I want to continue. I want the theme and the phrase we've been talking about all week, continue, to not just be a theme and not just be a word, but let it be something that just stirs our heart and makes us want to commit ourselves afresh and anew to do something for God, because I want to continue. There's still so much to do. There's still more people to see saved. There's still more churches to be started. More countries need missionaries. There's still so much more for us to do. There's people who need to hear about Jesus. There's too much left to do for God to not continue. We cannot afford to be casualties. We must continue in the Lord's work, not for our glory, but for His glory. And the question is this tonight. It's not, are you going to be attacked? The question is this, is how do we continue when we are attacked? I want to give you a very brief outline before we actually get into the real meat of the message today. Just three quick thoughts about this, to think about how the attacks that we have are real. We can read about it happening to somebody else, but they happen to us as well. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter really how good of a Christian you are. Doesn't matter what you do for God or what you've already done for God. It doesn't matter what more you want to do for God. When you want revival, you're going to be attacked. When you want to see people saved, you're going to be attacked. When you want to give to missions and support missionaries, you're going to be attacked. When you want to follow the will and the work of God, you will be attacked. And many times it will be a surprise attack, because our enemy likes to operate that way. Attacks are real. Attacks are ruthless, because our enemy is ruthless. And I have read about that Pearl Harbor invasion, and I've read about how the enemy's airplanes would just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and drop bomb after bomb and bomb after bomb. And just when we think the coast is clear, here comes another one. Our enemy's ruthless. His attacks are ruthless. They're real. And that brings me to number three. The attacks that we face, they produce a reaction. Every time we're attacked, ladies and gentlemen, there are two choices. They are victory or defeat. I thought about this today, driving up here tonight. There are no tie ball games in the Lord's work. There's no ties in the battlefield, the spiritual battlefield. It's either victory or it's defeat. I don't know if there's any soccer fans or hockey fans, but some games end in a tie. I don't know why you'd end the game in a tie. Either win the game or lose the game. But a tie ball game, it's kind of like, I don't know this from experience, but it's kind of like, you know, kissing your sister. You get to kiss, but it's your sister. If you tie, you didn't win, but yet you didn't lose. But in the spiritual battlefield, there are no ties. There's a winner and there's a loser. And I thought about 1941, after the attack, it was then we declared war on Japan. We joined with our allies. We were ready to go. We fought and we were victorious, because we had resolve. We wanted to continue. And tonight I thought about this. In these attacks that you and I face, there's two choices. There's victory and then there's defeat. But we must not be a casualty. We must continue. And tonight, the text that is before us, we think about David's battle. This is one of many battles David faced, and David's going to show us tonight how we can continue during the attack. Number one, notice the attack of the enemy. Look in verse 17. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, check this phrase out. All the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down into the hold. And the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of, Rephaim. I think about this attack that David faced. I think about how these Philistines must be much like the liberal media of our day, how they're always looking to do wrong to good people. And these Philistines also, they're a type of our enemy. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 that that to be sober and to be vigilant, because our adversary, his name is the devil, he's a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The word adversary means it means enemy, and he's always looking for a chance to attack, and he don't care if we know he's coming. He don't care what it's going to take. He wants to attack you. He wants to undermine you and rob you of your joy, and he wants to deceive you and discourage you and depress you and devour you and destroy you. But listen to this now. The devil is very, very, very smart. We forget how smart he is. He's not as smart as God, but he's way smarter than me and you, and he knows he cannot have our soul, because our soul is safe and secure in the hand of God. And the Bible tells us that nobody can pluck us from the hand of God. Not even the devil can do that. And he knows he can't have our soul, but he does know this. Boy, he sure can wreck a life. He sure can ruin a ministry. He sure can make havoc and disrupt our life. And he knows he's going to spend forever and ever and ever in the lake of fire, burning forever and ever and ever in the place that was made just for him. He knows that that's where he's going to be. And if he can't take us with him there, he'll make our life a living hell here on this earth. He'll attack. And the attack that the Philistines bring upon David reminds us of the attack our enemy has for us. I think about this attack. I think about the timing of this attack. But when the Philistines heard they had anointed David king over Israel, this was supposed to be a pleasant time for David. I mean, he's just been anointed king over Israel. He spent the last about 7 years or so running from Saul and literally having his life spared many times. Boy, Saul hated David, didn't he? He was so jealous. And jealousy will make you do some crazy things. And David spent the last 7 years running from Saul, and there wasn't much time yet for David to enjoy being the king and to kind of enjoy life in the palace. But now the Bible tells us that now Saul is gone, and now David, he's sure enough the king now, and he's finally done running from Saul. I can imagine David's family is beginning to grow now, and God's plan was finally coming to pass. And here's David, he's on the throne, and he's in the palace, he's the king, and everything's going well. Things are finally going smooth for David. Maybe now he can have a little bit of R&R. He's the king. He can put his feet up and watch football this weekend and watch Tennessee beat Georgia Tech this weekend. It's been mentioned already several times this evening that I don't have anything orange on. I'm a Tennessee fan, in case you didn't know. I hope that don't affect how you listen for the rest of the message, but all David wanted to do was just relax, enjoy life in the palace, be the king, put his feet up and enjoy life. And no sooner had David assumed the throne of Israel that here come the Philistines. I mean, dude, they wasted no time. They were there on the prowl, and they had this surprise attack to David. They didn't even give him time to set up his military. They didn't give him time to set up his household. His wife hadn't even had time to put the living room furniture where she likes it, and David hadn't put the blinds and the curtains up yet. The kids hadn't even picked their rooms yet, and bless God, David's still waiting for AT&T to come and put the internet in. He's not even ready. He's not ready yet to be attacked, but yet he is. His wife hadn't even unpacked the crock pot, for crying out loud. But that's what our enemy does. Listen, David wasn't yet ready, but the devil didn't care. The devil wants to catch us when we least expect it. He likes to come when things are going well. He likes to come when we're enjoying the blessings of God. He likes to come when we're not quite ready yet. That's why Peter told us to do what? To be sober and to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, he's going to devour somebody, and he wants it to be you. Right. We think about their timing. We think about the tenacity of their attack. Look in verse 17 again. All
the Philistines came up to seek David. All the Philistines. This wasn't just a little militia of soldiers. This wasn't just some band of outlaws. This wasn't just some hate group. This wasn't just some group of protesters. No, not at all, folks. The Bible says that all the Philistines, they come after David. And their goal is this. They remember a few years ago when David took the head off of their leader. So now they want to come back and get the head of Israel's leader. Their goal and their purpose and their plan, their battle plan is this. We want David's head. We want David's head on a stick. We want to bring David's head on a stick back to our king so we can celebrate our gods and our people and our glory. Their plan, their purpose was to take the head of David. It was a tenacious attack. So was our enemy. I tell you, he brings all his forces. He knows he's defeated. He'll not go down without a fight. And he'll do whatever it takes to ruin your life and wreck your life and hurt your ministry and hurt your family and hurt your marriage. He don't care about your feelings. The devil is not politically correct. He won't use nice words to keep from offending you. He don't care about your family. He don't care about your home. He don't care about your church. He don't care about your ministry. He don't care about anything about you. Listen, the devil hates you. He hates me because God loves us so much. He don't care if you're a preacher, a missionary, or a lay person. He'll do whatever it takes to defeat you. His attack is tenacious. Also, think about the tactics. The Bible says the Philistines on two occasions in our text that they spread themselves. I thought, why in the world would they spread themselves? There's a heap of them. Just coming in a single file line would have been enough to scare me off. But the Bible says they spread themselves. And I thought, why would they do that? These Philistines, I thought they were pretty smart. Why are they going to spread themselves? And here's what I think. I think it's a way to intimidate David. Because I think if they would have come to David in a single file line, then David would have just seen one or two, and David would have thought, well, you know, I got this. I'll at least get the first five. You'll get that later. When you get Brother Kuykendall's joke from last night, you'll get that one. He'll get the first five. Five smooth stones, I'll help you. Anyways, but they didn't come in a single file line. From David at his perch in the palace, he could have seen him coming in a single file line. He could have said, well, you know, I got this. I've done this before. This is no big deal. I can handle this. But the Bible says they spread themselves. They wanted to intimidate him, wanted him to scare him. They wanted to seem like something that they were not. They wanted him to be so afraid he would even give up before the battle even started. And I'll say this, our enemy, the devil, wants you and I to give up before we even start. And then once we do start, he wants us to get up before we even finish. He don't want us continuing. He wants us to be casualties. We must continue. We cannot be casualties. We got to keep our guard up. We got to stay focused on the Lord and stand our ground and not give up and not give in. Because we cannot afford to be casualties, we must continue because the cause of Christ is too important and too valuable for you and I to accept defeat. The Bible says the enemies, they spread themselves. I think about the attack of the enemy. I think about, number two, the action of David. Well, what did David do? He did what you and I should do. Verse 19, the Bible says, and David inquired of the Lord. In other words, David prayed. The key, I believe the Lord's shown me this the last few weeks, the key to understanding how to have victory is, who do you go to for help? David went to the one that you and I ought to go to. He inquired of the Lord. His priority was to pray. The very first thing he does is to pray. He doesn't call the troops together and say, gentlemen, line up, gather around, we got to have a talk. Look over there, the Philistines, they're coming. What do we do? He didn't put together a military committee. He didn't try to get anybody's opinion. He didn't ask the troops what they thought they ought to do. He didn't take a survey. David didn't plan an escape route in case things got too bad. He didn't seek some kind of compromise. He didn't send out a tweet or a Twitter, or he didn't put anything on the Facebook, or he didn't post on Instagram. What did David do? The Bible says he inquired of the Lord. He prayed. I'm reminded tonight that the first thing we ought to do is to pray. Not if we're attacked, but when we're attacked. But too many Christians, and I'm not speaking about anybody in particular, but too many of us, we run for the hills. Too many of us compromise, and too many of us, we give up, and we give in. There's too many times we don't give God a chance to fight for us. David prayed. We've got too much to fight for, too many souls in this world to not pray, too many cities in this world that needs a church to not pray, too many things left undone for our Lord to not pray. The Bible says when this militia came, when they spread themselves, David knew what to do. The Bible says he inquired of the Lord. He prayed. Well, what was his purpose? His purpose was to do whatever it was God said to do. Look in verse 20. Then in verse 19, David prayed and said, "Lord, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them unto mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go ahead, David, I got you. I got your back, I got your front, I got your side. Go ahead, David." And the Lord said, "David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." What was his purpose? His purpose was, after he prayed and spoke to God, his purpose was to do whatever it was that God said to do. David didn't debate with God. He simply obeyed God. And for the last probably 2 months or so, I guess I should know this already, being a pastor. I'm supposed to kind of know what I'm doing. But I've learned the last two months especially, something that all of you know, I'm sure. Most of you, a lot of you have been saved longer than I've been alive and been preaching and for a long time. But I've learned this fresh and anew the last few months. God's blessings, God's strength, and God's help comes when I'm obedient to Him. And the Bible says that David inquired of the Lord. He knew the battle was too much for him by himself, so he inquired of the Lord, the Bible says. And then the Bible says that God said, "Here, do this, David." And then the Bible says that David did so. Notice David's persistence. I think, well, the battle's over. The first battle's over there in verse number 20. God did what God always does. God won. The battle was over. Praise be unto God. The battle was over. Now David could rest. And now David could relax. And now David could spend some time of R&R. And now David really could watch some Tennessee football. And David really could have some relaxation. David really could put his feet up, because now those Philistines, God has beat those Philistines, and now everything was going to be hunky-dory. And some of you who are not from Tennessee don't know what that means. That means everything's going to be okay. That's what David thought. He might have been walking around the palace going, "Honey, guess what God's done did? He's done smoked them Philistines. It's time for vacation, babe. It's time to get the living room set up, honey. It's time to get the crock pot out. It's time to get this house in order, because now we can finally have some rest and relaxation." Not so fast, David. Look out there, David. Like the Terminator, they're back. That's just not fair, is it? "But Lord, I just had this battle. Me and you, we beat our enemy. We defeat them. They want to defeat us, but God, we turned the tables and we defeated them. So can we just not relax for a while? Can we just not have one good Sunday? Can we just not have one good week and nobody having a hard time? Can we just relax for a little bit, God?" Here come the Philistines again. I thought, just because the Lord brings great victory in our life one time don't mean we can relax. It don't mean the coast is clear. It don't mean that we can spend the rest of our ministry with our feet up. And it means this: you and I better be persistent, because I guarantee you one thing, our enemy's persistent.
And he'll come back time after time after time after time, and he'll drop bomb after bomb after bomb again and again and again. And the very moment we think we got him this time, here he comes again. Until we get to heaven, we're never safe from the enemy's attack. Until we leave this earth and go to our heavenly home, we're always going to be on the devil's hit list. Missionaries, better not get too depressed or too discouraged about deputation, because the devil will use that as an attack. And when your support level is not what it should be, or when things on the field aren't going as quickly as you think they should be going, don't get too depressed. Don't get too discouraged, because the devil will use that as an attack. We preachers better make sure our heart's right and our life's right and our family's right and our church is right, because if not, the devil will use that as an attack. I think about the attack of the enemy. I think about the action of David. And I notice number three, and finally, I think about the activity of God. There's an attack by our enemy, and there's action by David, and this action brings an activity from our Father. This battle, both these battles would have been, in my opinion, a terrible, terrible, terrible loss for Israel and for David if he wouldn't have inquired of the Lord. David would not have had a chance had he not inquired of the Lord. But the battle came, the enemy attacked, and this attack brought action on the part of David, and this action on the part of David, it brought activity on the part of God. I noticed three things about the activity of God. First of all, I see God's guidance in verse 23. This is not a typo in verse 23. It's not a misprint. It's not a click and drag. The Bible says that David inquired of the Lord again. A second battle. And here's why he inquired of the Lord again, because the first time he inquired of the Lord, it was so good, he said, I'm going to do that again. God gave him his guidance. And David, I'm using my imagination here, so bear with me. I can imagine David was just the Bible tells us he was a man of war. So I can imagine David was probably just chomping at the bit, saying, God, let's go get them. I've got my slingshot. I got my 5 smooth stones. God, I'm ready. Let's, me and you, let's go whoop these dudes again. Come on, let's go. I want to go. I see the enemy, and I hear the battle, and I hear them coming. And God, come on, let's go. Let's go. We got to go. We got to beat these dudes one more time. But God just says, David, just calm down. David, let me work. David, yes, you're right. A little bit ago, me and you, we did it, didn't we? But David, this time, just calm down. I can imagine David, this was just ready to go. I can see David as a little boy. We know about the bear and the lion he killed. He's probably always been that kind of kid. Probably when he was a little kid, I'm sure he played with army men, not Barbie dolls. And I'm sure when David got dressed to go to school, he didn't put on skinny jeans. I heard last night somebody talking about skinny jeans. He didn't put on flip-flops. He put on shoes, bless God, because he's always been a man. He's always wanted to fight and to battle. And here, David, I have no doubt he wants to go and he wants to battle. And he says, Lord, can I go again? This time God says, David, just hold your horses. David's going to follow God. He didn't try to figure things out. He didn't try to put his 2 cents worth in. He simply followed God. And what did God do? God guided him. Why do we... Well, I'm preaching to myself here, okay? Why do I act so dumb sometimes that I try to figure things out? I don't have it upstairs to figure it out. I don't have... It's in my heart to figure some things out. But I often try. In those times when I try to figure it out, in those times I think, you know what, God, I got it this time. Thanks for your help last time, but God, this time I got it. You can go help somebody else. At those times in my life when I act like such a dummy, God will say, just hang on, Matt. Just hang on.
David didn't try to figure it out. He just wanted to follow God. God gave him his guidance. And in verse 24, he gave him his presence. The Bible says in verse 24, and let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. God told David, David, just calm down a second. Just hold your horses. We're going to fight in a little while. Just hold your horses. But for right now, David, here's what I want you to do. David, do I have your attention? David, listen up. This is so important, David. David, listen up. Calm down. Put your slingshot back in your pocket. Put your stones back in your pocket. Just hang on, David. Listen to me now, David. David, your job right now is to follow me. So right now, David, you go over there by that grove of mulberry trees and just wait. And just wait until you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. He was to wait until he heard a going in the top of the mulberry trees. And that's very interesting to me. I've been saved since 1991. God called me to preach 2006. I've been doing this full time for about 8 years now. And so I still have to study a whole lot. Some of you elder preachers, to more mature preachers, probably know what this meant the first time you read it, but I didn't. So I had to study to show myself approved unto God. I looked after several Bible commentaries and some men that you and I know that we read after, and they kind of explain this phrase two different ways. They say this phrase, going in the top of the mulberry trees, it probably has to do with the wind blowing. It also has to do with one Bible scholar said it was the sound of the angelic host marching into battle. So I want to take about 2 minutes here and put those two thoughts together, and we're going to wrap it up. God says, David, you go and you stay by the mulberry trees, but you listen now, because when you hear the sound of a going in the top of those mulberry trees, then be ready. Then watch out. Then I'm going to show myself sufficient one more time. I think about in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind where the disciples were gathered there. And the Bible says that this wind that filled the house, and we know the Bible tells us that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the presence of God. That wind represented the very presence of God. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible tells us a story about the disciples. They're on the Sea of Galilee, and the Bible says that the winds were contrary, and even in that wind we see the presence of God. In Acts chapter 27, the Bible tells us another story about how Paul is on this boat, and the winds destroy the boat, and God even shows up in that wind. The Bible says over in 2 Samuel 22:11 that God was seen on the wings of the wind. In Psalm 104, verse 3, the Bible says that God layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters. He maketh the clouds his chariot. He walketh upon the wings of the wind. And so that wind, that sound of a going, is nothing more and nothing less than the very presence of God. And so God says this to David. David, I see the attack. I know about the attack, and I see your actions. But David, you hang on, because in just a minute, I'm going to show up and I'm going to show out, and there's going to be some activity on my part. David, you go over and you wait and you listen, and at the right time, you're going to hear the sound. And then, David, look out. In verse 24, David's going to bestir himself. It means there's going to be some action David's going to see. And the action is the very presence of God's going to show up. And those poor Philistines, they don't have a chance. Because none of us have a chance against God. And God says, David, hang on and hang out, because I'm going to show up and I'm going to show out. And the Bible says in verse 25, boy, this is so good. And David did so. God said to do this, and David
did this. Aren't you glad that you and I, we don't fight our battles all by ourselves, and you and I don't face these attacks all by ourselves, because we've got a God and we've got a Savior who says, Christian, just hold on and just hold out, because you don't have to fight by yourself. I'm going to fight with you and for you. I'm going to go ahead of you and stay behind you and go to your right and go to your left, and wherever the battle is, wherever you go, God says, I'm going to be right there with you. So just listen for the sound of a going in the tops of those mulberry trees. God's guidance, God's presence, and finally, verse 25, God's deliverance. David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. It's interesting that David did what David was supposed to do, and God did what he said he was going to do. The outcome of the attack was victory. David was not a casualty. He continued. The last 5 weeks, I'm not afraid to tell you, I've been under attack. The last 5 weeks, I've buried two of our prominent church members. We just went through a remodel of our sanctuary, and those of you who've been there before, I can't wait for you to come back. It looks really good. And we were having just a blessed time, and then all of a sudden we got two of our prominent church members we have to bury. Two Sunday nights ago, I was talking to somebody about at lunch about this today. Two Sunday nights ago, one of my best deacons, the senior citizen Sunday school teacher, one of our best deacons, one of our best givers, one of our best workers, a deacon, an usher on the security team, cleaned the sanctuary, just did so much to be a help for me after service. I mean, it's like 5 minutes after service. We gave the altar call and we did all that, and shaking hands. You know how we preachers do after church? We shake hands and all that. And so one of the guys comes up to me and he says, Preacher, Ernie's passed out. I used to be a fireman for 12 years, fireman paramedic, and so you kind of get your adrenaline going. So I got there and Ernie has walked from the hallway where he was ushering, and 5 minutes later walked to his truck and was sitting there in his truck, and a couple of guys are going, Ernie, wake up, Ernie, wake up, Ernie, wake up. Ernie didn't wake up. I checked his pulse, no pulse, and I said, we got to do CPR. And I didn't learn this in Bible college. I don't know, I wasn't prepared for this as a preacher. But I'm sitting there in the parking lot of our church on a Sunday night, 5 minutes after service, doing CPR on my best deacon. You know what the devil said? Gotcha, don't I? We buried Mrs. Farmer 5 weeks earlier. The devil said, I gotcha, don't I? One of our best family members, she sang in the choir, very faithful to all of our services, and just one of our best families, and she gets offended by something somebody says, and they leave the church, and the devil says, I'm attacking you. It's a surprise attack. You have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm attacking you. And I have to admit, just for a couple of minutes, I thought, you know what? What am I going to do now? But I remember reading where David, the Bible says, he inquired of the Lord. And that was two Sundays ago when Ernie passed away. Preached his funeral on Saturday, Thursday, I forget. But this past Sunday, after I've already told the devil, I don't want to even listen to you anymore. Get out of my way. Get off my back. I don't want to listen to you anymore. I've already talked to God about this. And that Sunday morning, Ernie's stepdaughter-in-law, who has never been to church, came to church, heard the gospel. At the invitation, Ernie's stepdaughter-in-law came to the altar and right there received Jesus Christ as her Savior. I said, devil, shut your mouth. You ain't getting me this time. I was attacked. You'll be attacked. And the question is not, will we be attacked? The question is this, will we be a casualty or will we continue? Bow your heads, please. Father, thank you so much for this service. I thank you for your word. I pray now, God, as the message has been preached, that you have no doubt spoke to hearts. Lord, you've done a work in our hearts, and we give you glory and praise and honor for that. And now the time is for the decision to be made. What will we do when we're attacked? Will we give up? Will we give in? Will we throw in the towel? Will we quit? Will we compromise? Lord, will we be a casualty, or will we continue? God, I pray now you bless the next few moments of this invitation. We give you glory, honor, and we ask you, Lord, to bless. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.